The golden rule says you should treat others the way you want to be treated. But an unfortunate truth is that idea doesn't account for the driving power of wanting to prove someone wrong or get even. Media moguls Vince McMahon and Ted Turner turned the 90s cable airwaves into an open war zone of professional wrestling with millions of fans. The global superpowers of the 20th century even threw down to be the first to send a man to the moon, just as a flex. There are stories where people crash and burn in perceived mutual hatred, too. Like naturalist Charles Waterton humiliating himself trying to bring down American birding icon James Audubon. But that's the beauty of beef. It's funny, it's dark, it's humanity in a nutshell. And it's a triple gold signal award-winning show from Next Chapter Podcasts. I'm Bridget Todd. Join me as I serve up the juiciest rivalries you've never heard of. Listen to Beef wherever you get your podcasts.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
We have a major announcement, an unprecedented departure, something outstanding. I don't even know. God, I'm a fucking moron. What am I doing right now? What is it that I'm doing? We have a major announcement, and you'll hear about it in a couple of minutes after we're done shooting the shit. I didn't even want you to take this out. I want the world to know what a fucking moron I am and how stupid I am on this podcast all the time. That's what I want.
I think you just get ahead of yourself a little bit, and then you're like, wait, I just needed to say one thing. Like, it doesn't need to be a whole elaborate, which I do the same thing, but
no,
yes.
I can't stop. I just can't stop. And I hate the sound of my voice, but I can't stop using it.
Just as important as our big announcement. Have you noticed? Okay, so I'm sure that you follow a few people that are just like attractive Instagram men that like,
normally like, what's the word? Where I just look at their pages without liking them.
Sure.
I'm just like a lurker. I'm a lurker. Yes.
So like what I've been noticing recently is that there's these people that become like Instagram, like hot people. And like, it's every picture of them like alone, like posing with either an outfit on or like not an outfit on. And that's the point. You know what I mean? And
right.
Like being right. Very like thirst trappy, which is like fine. Like if you're attractive, I want to see that.
Sure. Know?
But then you like do a little bit more digging and you find that they're in a relationship. And then you like go to the other person's page,
right.
Like their person they're in a relationship with, and every photo is them with the other person. Like, you know what I mean? It's like the other person is absolutely like just doing the run of the mill. Like
right.
I'm in a relationship and I'm a normal person. That's a civilian of the
right.
world on Instagram. And
sure.
So it's like pictures of us like on a vacation. It's pictures
exactly.
of us like making dinner together, pictures of us doing this. And then if you go to the other person's Instagram, like you would never in your life ever know that that person is in a relationship.
Right. No, because they're in an open relationship, but only one of them is aware of it.
Yeah.
What would you call that? A jar? That relationship's a jar.
It's a jar. Which again, like I'm not here to tell anyone what to do with about anything, but like, isn't that so strange? Like, wouldn't you feel, I guess, you know, let me not judge people, but like, I would just be like, what's happening?
You mean, do you think they talk about it at home?
Yeah. Like, do they know that? And they're like, well, it's better that I am like, quote unquote, single, because then people are like lusting after me. Is that what it is? Like, what? Like, there's someone that I follow who's extremely attractive, who has a husband and multiple children that you would never, ever, ever know.
Right.
And like, is doing OnlyFans and like getting.
Oh, well, that's the reason then. Like, my only question was, are they making money off of being hot?
Yeah.
Because then that's part of the deal. Like, you know. If you're married to someone who's gorgeous, you have to let them be gorgeous so they can make money so you can raise your children.
It really is your like rule of your golden rule that you want to have in the world. Like of like if you're really hot, then like I get to do whatever I want.
Oh, if you are hot, you have a moral and religious and ethical responsibility to make money off of being hot. That's absolutely. An ex-mother-in-law of mine once said that if you have a gift and you don't use it, that God gets angry.
And that's these people are making God happy.
If your gift is being hot and you're not making money from it, you're going to get to the pearly gates and God's going to point down. Be like, nope, I gave you that face and you didn't go on OnlyFans? Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't have said face. Just a dick.
Because then they start to, the point of that is to be like, oh, here's what I do. And I like, get to know me and get all these, you know what I mean? Like, here's me, like a slice of life of my life. And it's like, but you have kids and like a spouse. Like, why is that not a part of your slice of life? But it's like,
because that's boring. Honestly.
Yeah, I guess sure. But I think it's interesting. I don't know.
Really? You know what I can no longer stand? And I'm sure I am like years behind even it being worthy of a conversation, but the GRWM on the old Insta and TikTok, get ready with me. How did this start? It is for those of you who are even older and dumber than I am, GRWM, get ready with me, is just people videotaping them getting ready either for the day or to go out. And it's just them sort of like getting dressed. Now, if you're going to invite me to watch you getting dressed, I need you to be going to the Met Gala. I need you to be going to the Academy Awards or I don't know, to march to your death, something significant. There are people that have millions and millions of followers whose claim to fame is get ready with me. And when I tell you that they are putting on a t-shirt and jeans every day.
As if that's like groundbreaking. Well, you know that I have an entire like Instagram series that's called okay, ? That's like people getting ready that like, and they're like, this is them doing fashion and it's just like them wearing a t-shirt. And I'm like, I didn't need to see this.
It is utterly bizarre. And like, it's insane. Giving them press by talking about it. And that's probably what's so kitschy about it, I guess, is that they are just so underwhelming in every way. I watched an Instagram video of someone mostly attractive of him washing his face. And it was like five Insta stories in a row of him washing his face. I was waiting for the punchline and it just ended with him looking at his wet face in the mirror. He didn't even, I felt incomplete. I was blue balled because he didn't even dry his face off. I'm like, I've spent two full minutes here waiting for a climax and all you did was wash your fucking face?
Well,
what is wrong? The internet's horrible.
As much as people, you know, say everyone thinks they can do what we do is for work, it's like storytelling is an art. And like you do need, and not even just a beginning, middle, and end, but like you do need compelling situations that you are telling a story through, not I'm washing my face and now it's over. Like, yeah, I wash my face every day. Like I didn't need to see this.
I actually feel responsible for this horrific form of entertainment. I feel like reality shows.
Everyone thinks that they can do a reality show.
Yes. Chris and I are both producers of reality shows for many years. And I feel like what we do for a living has opened the world to get ready with me.
Well,
it's opened the world to watch me wash my face.
One, also people believing that their story can also be compelling when it's not.
No, but I spend an inordinate amount of time watching insignificant people do insignificant things. I might have to take Instagram off my. I can't take Instagram off my.
Well,
phone
the get ready with
we
me
have a page there.
The get ready with me, as much as like a lot of the other little trends that they do, I've heard from so many influencers that they're like, if it's trending, like you have to do it. And it's just like another thing that's an excuse to like have another video is like, here's the outfit I'm wearing. But again, like I need to see an outfit then. I don't need to see a pair of blue jeans and a white t-shirt. Like I've seen that before.
Right. Like, if I'm going to watch you get ready, I need to see a team of people helping you get the fuck ready. That's what I need.
Or I need you to be getting paid by a brand to say, show off all of our clothing. And then that's fun to me because it's almost like a commercial for the clothing.
Just something
that maybe I want to buy.
I'm going to see your Old Navy bullshit. Oh, yeah. By the way, this week's episode is sponsored by Old Navy. I should apologize.
It is maddening.
Everyone on the internet is an idiot except for us. Yeah. That is basically the moral of it.
Basically.
Are we ready to reveal our big announcement?
Speaking of everyone being idiots except for us. We've joked a lot about merch that we want to put clitorally on a t-shirt. We're going to, Stratosphere, we're going to have all this merch. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. We get a DM.
The slow rollout begins. Chris, give them the origin story.
We get a DM from a little company called Wax Cabin Candle Company. They want to do a candle with us. Was the candle the first thing we were thinking of doing as merch? No.
Did it end up being the most logical choice?
Yes.
Yes.
We are now coming out with a clitorally candle.
A clitorally candle. You heard that right. A clitorally candle.
We are collaborating with Wax Cabin Candle Company, and we are launching the clitorally candle. Two different scents, both equally good. And they are on sale right now.
Can you believe it? Happy birthday, America. There's a clitorally candle for you.
We're going to be posting it all over both of our social medias as well as the Fixing Famous People Instagram at Fixing Famous People. Go there. You are going to be able to buy them. You can buy one. You can get a box set of two.
A box set of clitorally candles.
They say clitorally on them. The candles themselves, obviously the minute that we are approached with this, we're like, we need to smell the candles. It needs to be good. Like they can't be gross. Like, send us candles. They are soy-based. They're in a glass jar with a lid on top. So once you're done burning the candle, you can then reutilize that jar. And it says clitorally on it. So of course you want to reuse that jar to put
your child's teeth as they fall out. You want to put in there.
Loose change, lipsticks, any of
condoms.
These things. Obviously, we went back and forth of like, what do we want the container to be? And Dominic said, I know that your dream is that in 10 years, someone shouts like to their husband from another room, like, oh, you need a bobby pin? It's in my clitorally candle jar.
Yes!
And he knew that that was my dream because it is.
Now, you might be asking yourself, what do these candles smell like? Well, they smell like clits. Just kidding. Neither one of us knows what that smells like.
We sure don't. You more than me knows.
Well,
but
it's just been many decades. It was but a scent I've forgotten. So, Chris, why don't you tell us what they smell like?
One of the scents is a morning tea cleanse. That is green tea bags, a yoga mat, honeysuckle, and to top it all off, a lemon wedge. Beautiful morning. Burn it in the morning. And the thing that's good about these candles is when you buy one of those candles that's like really, really cheap and you're just, and you smell it and you're like, oh God, and it gives you a headache and it's like really strong and because it's so poorly made. These are not that. You burn this for like in your house and you come into the room and you get that little whiff of the scent and it's not giving you a headache like an hour later. You know what I'm saying? Like you're getting that little whiff of it and you smell it and it feels good and you get that little pick me up, but you're not then sitting there and it's not like smelling on all of your clothes.
This candle provides you emotionally with the sort of happiness when you see someone who was mean to you in high school, you find their Facebook page and they're just hideous now. It gives your brain that stimulation. Yeah. Yes. It gives you that stimulation. It's the sort of stimulation that you had to invite someone you hate to a party for political reasons and they get violently ill and can't attend. It's that sort of happiness. It's sort of like you smell this candle and you think to yourself, I fucking deserve this candle. Clitorally.
And maybe you don't want a morning tea cleanse. Maybe you're like, I don't want a cleanse. I don't want that. That's not the scent that I like. We also have a walk on the beach. Okay. Salt water, driftwood. Sandals and jasmine. It's fresh. It's light. It's almost like clean linen. Like, it's very, very, very clean. Not too, like, gross fragrancy.
It's delicious. It smells delicious, but it won't make you hungry.
Yes. We are so excited to make these. We are so excited to bring them out. I hope you guys all buy one. I hope you guys post about it. We are so excited. And I think that we are good. This is like the first in a very long line of things.
This is a dream come true. You're watching two grown men have a very, very immature dream come to big, bold life right in front of you. And we have all of you to thank, because they only know about us because you've all been commenting and reposting and listening. So thank you very much. And please, please enjoy the candle of the summer. Clitorally.
Clitorally.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
And now, let's get into it. Our guest this week is the first three-time guest on Fixing Famous People, our first thricer.
Unprecedented.
It's absolutely unprecedented. We're going to have to get, like, when SNL has a five-time guest, a velvet jacket, we're going to have to give the three-timers something. Maybe it'll be like... I'll grab something from my mother's house and we'll send it to people. Jewelry. She's got wine jewelry for the base of her wine glasses. Those will be in the mail. Our guest today is, just like Chris and I, a podcast host and a television producer, and absolutely hilarious. She is the lovely and talented Rebecca Breckman.
I was going to suggest... five timers get anal beads, no?
Yeah, with our face, with mine and Dominic's faces on each of the beads.
The beads are the size of our actual faces,
heads.
Yeah. So
power bottoms only can host the show a fifth time.
Yep. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be in the thruple now.
I am thrilled that you're here. Did you want to accuse either of us of being anti-Semitic right off the top, or were you just going to weave it into the podcast? I mean,
whatever, you know, we're talking about an anti-Semitic thing. Mm-hmm. I'm on an anti-Semitic podcast. I mean,
it's so horrible.
Are you going live with Tucker on Twitter later, or are you doing that tomorrow? God.
I mean, I would for 30 seconds just to promote Fixing Famous People. I would do it nude if necessary.
And Tucker Carlson would be like, what?
I actually have ways to fix him, and it does involve being a power bottom.
So. Oh, I have similar ideas, actually. So today we are, I'm going to throw the word departure into our lexicon now, just because today's a real departure for us. Dare I say an unprecedented departure for Fixing Famous People.
But one that people have begged for again and again. Every single time I've put up a who should we fix next on Instagram, this has come in as a suggestion.
And they want us to fix the Roy family of Succession.
Before we go any further, we have not touched on the fact that Rebecca's wearing the sweater that Shiv wears in the first, like, what, three episodes of the show that I already owned from H&M, a men's medium. It fits her beautifully. It's gorgeous. And, I mean, she's cosplaying.
I am. And wore it better, as we all know.
Yes, we know. For sure. Yeah, for sure.
Wore it better. And I call it H&M. H&M.
Hache and Mache, as we said last time. Oh, yeah. I gifted it to you on this podcast. Everyone knows what you're wearing.
Yes, of course.
Oh, that's right. There's a through line here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, look, you come on the podcast at least three times. You get
anal
beads.
Right.
Well, five times anal beads, three times a sweater worn by somebody on television.
I'm going to have to start giving away all of my, like, Americans. Remember when, Rebecca, when we would pick up, like, old props from the Americans, like, outside of our office? Yes, so I'm going to have to start sending those to people.
Yes.
If you appear on the podcast a sixth time, we actually kill you during the podcast.
We come to your house.
You're taking too much attention away from us.
That, I mean, trust me. I know. Yeah.
I got to give you this sweater in person because we all, much like everyone important to us, convened at Dominic's show at the Cutting Room, which was absolutely hilarious.
Thank you.
I loved it.
I laughed so hard. And was so funny because every time you had like a bomb that you needed to drop on the audience, you would turn and look directly into my eyes and drop it, knowing that I was going to give you the biggest reaction in the entire world.
I was basically I've gotten so used to doing this podcast that I'm only performing
for me.
Now.
Yeah.
It was touching. It was funny. It was great. And if you weren't there, you are homophobic. So, you know, that's that.
That's that.
Where should we start, by the way, with the family? Because I think what we'll do is speak about all the characters or as many as we can fit in. But if we're going to fix them at the end, we should fix them as a family, right? Yeah.
Yes. I think that our pitches need to be like overall, like how do we move forward with like, and it needs to be one fell swoop. People can do different things, but like,
sure.
Like, it's not like let's fix this person and this person and this person. It needs to be like one pitch.
Right. And to Chris's point earlier, this was not our idea. Several people wrote in during the actual final run of the show, of the final season rather, and said that we should fix this family. And we thought it was hilarious. So we're not, I mean, that's why we ask who you want so we can steal the ideas and do less work.
And if they were real people, we would have talked about them 17 million times on this podcast, correct?
Absolutely.
Like they basically are exactly the people we would be fixing on this show if they really were real and not actors.
Well, they are. It's the Murdochs.
They are real
the
people.
Trumps, yeah. The Murdochs, the Trumps, mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. Fill in the blank, rich, you know, wealthy, wealthy American family. That's what they are.
Can you understand this is what's happening? Because I'm not muting my microphone.
I love it.
Truly, it is like I live in Port Authority, not outside it, literally inside it.
Do you remember, that movie with, what was it, Gary Coleman? Where he lived in the, didn't he live in Grand Central Station?
I don't know, but I'm pausing so I can Google it. This is what? Wait, what a film it? Where Gary Coleman lives in Port Authority? I have a boner.
Gary Coleman.
Just train station.
Train station movie.
Did something come
on? On the Right Track, made in 1981.
Oh my God.
Where does he live?
Was this a theatrical film or a television movie?
I think it was a television movie. And he like had a locker and I'm looking this up. Does he live in the train station or in the locker?
Oh,
even?
God. If he lived, stop. He did not live in a locker.
Rebecca, this is horrible. On the Right Track is a 1981 American romantic comedy film with the feature film debut of Gary Coleman. It was directed by Lee Phillips. A young homeless shoeshine boy named Lester is living in a locker at Union Station, Chicago.
Oh my God.
Already a beloved figure among the staff at the station who look after him and avoiding attempts to move him to an orphanage, he finds great popularity after it is revealed that he has an amazing talent for picking winning horses at the racetrack. Jesus Christ on a cross, bleeding.
Holy, holy mother of God. This is racist, classist, heightist. It is all the ists. It's everyone.
I can't believe you don't remember this, Dom.
I can't believe either. But, you know, there was a period of time where all these comedy people were doing very serious roles in the early 80s. Yeah. You remember when Lucille Ball was homeless in the TV film Stone Pillow?
I don't remember the name. But
oh, my God. And then Mickey Rooney did this. Yes. I mean, he could never. Mickey Rooney actually has a very checkered sort of, you know, he played an Asian character in Breakfast at Tiffany's, which is widely regarded as the reason you can't watch the movie anymore.
Yeah.
And then he played Bill, My Name is Bill, in a series of television movies where he was mentally disabled. Yes. And watching him, it really is right up there with Rosie O'Donnell riding the bus with my sister. Yeah. Like, you look at it,
I remember,
like,
that one.
How on earth did this get made? There was a second person that couldn't say to the first person, this is a bad idea.
Yeah.
Two people thought this was good.
But we have them and think of them fondly. I think about this. I think about Gary Coleman living in a locker once a month at least.
I can't pass a locker without thinking about Gary Coleman.
I actually can't.
That's why I don't go to the gym, because it's too Gary for me.
I actually was homeschooled because of
I feel like every time you're on this podcast, you bring up some movie from like before I was born. And that's like, remember when this happened? And we all just go,
Remember 1980? Remember the Odessa step sequence in the Russian silent film? Nobody. All right. Well, Succession, HBO Max. HBO.
Yes, thank you for pulling us back in.
Let's do it.
The only person you're not hosting is pulling us back in to do the job. It's appreciated. Where shall we start? With which Roy family member will we begin?
That's the hardest question so far. Where do we start?
Well, I think, okay. I was just going to say, just quickly, I mean, everyone knows what Succession's about, right?
Sure.
You don't have to do like a quick.
It's about a billionaire family that owns a media company in New York, and it's called Succession because you quickly learn in the very first episode that this dad has to decide which of his three competent children will take over his empire after he dies. And it ran for 4 seasons on HBO/HBO Max and was incredible.
Incredible.
And if you don't know anything about it, like, you need to go outside and like learn what's happening in the world, because it's all anyone talked about for the last 4 years. So like,
there'll be major spoiler alerts here as well.
Like, you should turn it off right now if you haven't seen it.
It was also it was created by and show ran by a British man named Jesse Armstrong. So it's kind of like his spoof on
American capitalism.
Capitalism.
In fact, in many interviews, both the producers and the cast have said, we have no idea how people are describing this show as a drama when it is so clearly a comedy. The blackest comedy on television, but it was, you know, they considered it a comedy.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, for sure. I mean, it was a statement about the super rich. There's absolutely no doubt.
It's honestly like a companion piece to like The Comeback. Like, it's like that level of like, you're just cringing the entire time. Like, you are just like, oh my God, will these people. Yeah. Veep is a perfect like companion piece to this. Like, oh my God, how could these people be any more annoying and like stupid?
Yeah. If I can, I think. Yeah, I don't think there's any fixing Logan Roy. I think start with the kids.
Great. Let's start with the oldest and least consequential, Khan. What I loved the most about Khan being on the show was that they made it very clear that ATN, the network that was owned by this family, was basically going to choose the next president, meaning that with just a little bit of effort, they could. That Logan could have backed his own son to have been the next president. And he's just such a lunatic that they didn't even entertain it, to the point where he was running for president and had to beg his father for airtime on the network his dad owned.
But at the same time, I feel like in the end of the day, he was the one who came off the best, question mark. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I often think that Khan and his wife would be the spinoff, because I think that they would probably end up living the most interesting life. I know she was objecting on the final episode to some of the countries it was being suggested where he would have an ambassadorship and she would have to move. So there's sort of a Green Acres moment there. Like, if they move to some Eastern European war-torn, impoverished nation, I would want to see her and Khan trying to survive there.
And that I see that like a Comeback or a Veep, where it would be a half hour more leaning into the comedy. Yeah.
Yeah. And too, like, there's the least damage is done by Khan and his wife. Like, the least, you know what I mean? Like, right. They're just, like, being rich people being rich people. Do you know what I mean? And, like, being like, what country do I want to be an ambassador to? Let me think. And it's like, I don't see, like, because at the end of the day, it's like, he doesn't make any decisions. It's all his, like, team anyway. So it's like, he's just a figurehead, which is, like, what I think is, like, what he wants and what we want for him.
Shall we move on?
Yeah.
We're going from oldest to, well, you know, now I don't even know who is the oldest.
Well, there's a debate, but I do think it goes Ken, Shiv,
I think so too.
Yeah.
Where to begin with Ken? By the way, I dated someone, I think, for a year that looked exactly like Khan. Because Khan Alan Ruck, the actor, played Cameron in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And I dated someone that looks exactly like that. I wonder if he looks like Conrad Roy now.
I think he looks great.
Yeah.
He looks great.
Yeah.
I did it. I mean, especially if he's a billionaire. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He could be Gary Coleman in a locker with a billion dollars. I did it.
You're such an idiot.
Gary Coleman was a millionaire, which was $1 billion back then.
Yeah, so. That's true.
Yeah.
Kendall, I had a crush on in the first couple seasons, but then he really let his skin go the wayside, which I didn't really like.
His actual skin?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
wow.
So mean of me to say, but like,
it's a slam. It's the first slam of the episode.
It was very, like, at the end, I was like, he's suffering from that thing that, like, older men, especially older white men, get, where their lips start to be strange and, like, their jowl area starts to get very, like, there starts to be some upsets. And
I hear you loud and clear. You don't have this.
I would have told you this to your face way earlier if this was how you are.
I'm going to wear tape around you from now on.
Is that your Botox guy in the background?
Yeah.
not in the background.
A needle
here.
Coming in on the side. Like, No, but he has that thing where, like, his lips are starting to go, like, there's like a hormone thing happening with the lips. I don't know. Do you know what I mean? And so, but the first couple seasons when he'd be on that treadmill, like, being aggressive, I would be like, ooh. Mm. And then, you know what I mean? But now in the end, I'm like, he's the saddest one, in my opinion.
I mean, he is the rap. I'm sorry.
The rap. Never forget.
One of the best scenes in the whole series.
Ever. He is, I mean, they're all comic relief, but that rap was just, it was gorgeous.
The reverence with which he did it. Yeah. I mean, Jeremy Strong is I'm gonna use the word brilliant. He is a brilliant actor.
Brilliant.
Like,
yeah.
He gave a brilliant performance here.
Yep.
Did we ever see Ken in any state of undress or in any sex scenes over the four seasons?
No, sadly. I wish there was more sex scenes in the show. I can't believe I'm saying this about an HBO show.
Yeah.
But I think it's because it's not, I don't know. It just feels like it's not part of the show.
Yeah.
Well, in the reboot, they should have The Weeknd play Kendall, and there will be anal. There will be all sorts, every episode.
You want to talk about anal beads, though?
Yeah. Actually, what Kendall pivots to after he's not named the successor.
Because Kendall's so, it's just like so sad. Because it's like, he doesn't have, to quote New York Tiffany Pollard, he doesn't have the vernacular he thinks he possesses. The only reason he has any of this stuff is because his dad, and he hasn't ever needed to prove that he is good at business and isn't. Like, if we remember in the first season, remember he's trying to do that deal with the guy, like that friend guy who I think is so hot, who's like,
beyond. I think he's on Broadway right now. A Doll's House with Jessica Chastain.
He's trying to do a deal with him in the first season, and Kendall fucks the whole thing up, remember?
Yeah.
Like, he can't do a deal that's like, should be a no-brainer. It's not even that hard, and he can't do it.
Shall we move on to Siobhan Shiv Roy?
She, in my opinion, is the least capable. Is that horrible?
No, every it's time just I sexist. Saw, if you think every, sexism's no, horrible, but, then sure, that's horrible.
I'm just, fuck the patriarchy. Okay.
Every time she goes to do like a deal or negotiate with someone, it's the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. And she has so many tells and she's always like, well,
I'm like smirky Sarah Snook.
No,
though,
it's
honestly.
Great. No, it, she's a brilliant actor, but like, as she, like Shiv, the character is like, she does it perfectly, but I'm always like, Shiv, like you're fucking this up so bad. Like, stop. You like know, pretend that you know what you're talking about. Like, you know what
I mean? I'm going to even say this. I think that she's almost a watered down Kendall ability wise, because she's presented in the first episodes in the first season as this like totally together, whip smart, half villain, half hero, knowing that she's, you know, entering a marriage of convenience, and she's very just sort of aware, and she just seems so cunning. And then as each layer of the onion, she gets stepped on more times maybe than anyone. In the end, she stepped on the most. In the end, she is at the very, very, you know, I mean, Kendall's down there, you know, wanting to jump into the ocean, but she's not much further above him. You know, like the handholding with Tom in the car when she realizes in an instant that she has turned into her actual mother, who she despises. It's a maybe the best television moment of the year. Agreed. Is Shiv and Tom, the handholding in the limo.
Absolutely, and of the year. Like that's way, not even. I'm not
and
even.
The way she puts her hand, it's a queen and king sort of. She her hand is up. Her hand is up like this, and his hand is this, and she just places her hand. It looks very royal. What you're saying, a marriage of convenience. It is like a king and queen. It is like a political marriage. And she's acknowledging that by just gently placing her hand in his. And she's just like, okay, now I'm the second. I'm the woman to the.
After all that hemming and hawing. It's like she got fucked over by every guy on the show. But she also tried to do it back. Yeah. So she was an equal, at least in
that
regard.
I mean, this is why we're fixing them, because this is the learned behavior from their shit fucking horrible dad, right? And mom. This is they don't learn love. They learn love is through climbing a ladder, getting to the top and being declared a winner.
When she tried to like always come out on top, and she was always had her exit plan. You know what I mean? She always was half in with everyone. Like she was never like, even when it was the three of them going to do like their little news organization, she was always ready to like throw them under the bus to like be the one that comes out unscathed. Right. And so it was funny because it's like she finally realized, oh no, I'm out of place. Like, do you know what I mean? Like I'm at the end of my rope. And instead of incinerating everything, she's like, oh, I actually do have this exit plan, which is to continue to be in my marriage.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like now that's now my exit plan, because that's now become the value of my marriage has now skyrocketed monetarily and everything else. Actually, my real identity has actually plummeted. If we're going to talk about stock market terms, you know, business.
Right. I'm actually like getting kind of jealous of all these kids right now. I wish. Wish I had $1 billion.
It's also, and that's the other thing is like, remember in the final scene, they're like, let's just get paid out and never have to worry about this anymore. Yes. And they can't do
they
it.
No, they can't do it.
If I had $5 million, I'd be like, bye. Yeah. Like everyone, bye. Like see you never. Like, let alone they have billions.
Billions. I've made it very clear. If you send me $25,000, you won't see me again. That is literally enough for me to just start a new life.
Well, literally, that's how much I charge if anyone wants to marry me to get Canadian citizenship. Literally. 25K American.
We're good to go.
Shall we move on to Roman?
Yes, I was going to say, speaking of disappointing, but actually, I don't know.
I don't know. He may have ended up the happiest of the kids at the end of it.
I agree.
What happens to him at the end? What did we know anything that he does?
He's just at a bar drinking a martini thinking about Jerry.
Yeah. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I wish we would have, you know, see, this is the sad part is like the sex scenes in this show are like, him being a sick fuck and like Jerry like doing weird sex shit with him, which like I wanted more of. Like I wanted to see their relationship blossom or it be insane and then somehow that makes Jerry get fired and he gets saved even though he's the aggressor. Right. Know what I mean? Like I wanted like a Me Too squashing behind right. closed doors and Jerry becomes the scapegoat. You know what I mean? Like, that would have been fun.
His facade crumbling was just the most. Yeah. Oh God. I mean, just all of it at the funeral.
Amazing scene. Amazing.
I don't know how you choose this season between
the three
Jeremy Strong and Kieran Culkin for the Emmy. I would go with Kieran Culkin though.
Yeah, me too. I would too.
And I don't see how you give Best Actress to anyone other than Sarah. Like I guess
is Matthew McFadden supporting? Would you
he
say?
Is. Yeah.
Yes.
He
won for I think supporting before.
He won last year. Yeah.
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 No, yeah, I mean, he's insane. He's insane. Insanely talented. And it's always, you know, it sounds pedantic, but when you hear Sarah Snook and Matthew it's McFadden, right?
Yeah, it's McFadden. McFadden.
When you hear them in interviews.
Well, this is exactly what you're saying. This is the whole point of what you're saying right now, right? Is that we can't even pronounce their names correctly and they're speaking in a completely normal American accent.
Completely normal. Yeah. Like, it's shocking to hear them speak. Yeah. She's Nothing. Australian and he's British, right?
But those scenes this year were such Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. It's such playwriting. It's such play acting. It's so intimate. I just, it was amazing. I know that is not talking about Roman. Let's talk about Roman.
I mean, he's like the little worm. You know what I mean? Like, in my opinion, he's so... like a little, he reminds me of like Schmeagol from like Lord of the Rings. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's who he is in the show. Am I wrong though? He's like,
no,
there to
you're
pick
not.
Up this, he's like to, there to pick up the scraps. He's like the vulture. You know what I mean? That's how I see him.
He was always comic relief. And you almost in the first season thought he was sort of inconsequential and he was even billed as supporting that year. But as the years went on again, like his transformation was insane. You know, it was insane. And I loved, by the way, as an aside, the way that the fourth season was just presented as just, it was always just one day.
It just made it
so
insane,
incredible, and so intense. And he was so good this season.
Yeah.
I would give him the Emmy actually.
I know.
Jeremy
you
Strong.
Could, you could see, I mean, so he was sort of like, other than Greg, he was very much the comic reliefy, like that rich shit, like we've all known that rich shitty kid who I'll get away with it, I'll do this, I can do that, I can get away with anything. I do think this season though he really did sort of, you know, as Roman he learned that okay, I have to like step up my game now. I'm maturing, I want to be in charge. And then you do see the minute his dad dies, the decline, that he's exhausted, the anger, and then it all culminates at the funeral, I think, when he says, oh, I pre-grieved.
Oh God, I loved that. I loved it. Yeah. His character went through so much in this, it's almost emotionally more than any other of the siblings went through.
Yeah.
And he played it beautifully.
Even at the end, whenever Dominic, we talked about this, but he's like, this is all bullshit. Like, we don't mean anything. Like,
yep.
We only,
he was the one that
dad.
Needed to
like,
do
yeah.
it. Right.
Like,
cause he was the least
like, guys,
invested.
Like, and he's like, guys, like it's over. Like, this is done. Like we fucked it up. Like it's time to move on now. Like,
and you know, he was also the one when the three of them were in the conference room and Ken wanted to like beat up on Shiv. And Roman actually was the one was like, she's pregnant. Like, what the fuck are you doing?
Right.
You know, what is wrong with you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is true. I think he is the least delusional, but he is the one that, you know, I forget, was it after the funeral? Where did he go in the street and get beat up?
At that protest on the second to last.
It was like
episode.
A protest for the presidency.
Right. So
right.
Like,
he has
sort of like I need to feel hurt. I need to feel pain. And that is always like, I feel like that's what he wanted Jerry to do to him.
Yeah.
I think that's what his relationship with his dad was like. There's something in him that always needed to feel alive. He needed to feel pain. And it's just like, they're just so fucked up. They're just obviously fucked up.
And he needed to connect to the outside world. Yeah. The rest of them all loved living in like this delusion. Yeah. He needed to be able to scream at someone in their face and be like, you people are idiots. Why don't you get this? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, again, trying to like, his whole point of him yelling at those people was to be like, don't you see that like we have all this controlled? Like, none of your protesting is going to do anything.
Yes.
Like, this is already like made up. This is already made up for everyone. Yeah. You know what I mean? Already, like,
we orchestrated this.
Yeah.
And you know what we didn't talk about actually with Ken was that he killed somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, we forgot that Kendall killed somebody. Then he confessed to killing somebody to his brother and sister at his mom's wedding and then denied.
Right. Then said it was a joke.
Fucking thing and said it was a joke. He is the worst.
Because they used that. They tried to use it again at mom's house when they were just like, it can't be you killed someone.
You killed somebody.
I made it up.
Yeah.
No, that was in the conference room.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I thought
that's
it was
like
back
that's
at
the climax
house.
Of the, in my opinion, them bringing that back up is the climax of the show.
Yes, because you knew it had to come up. I thought it has to come up, right? Or
no, I thought the same thing. I was like, didn't he kill someone in the first season? Like, that never paid off. I'm so confused of why they made that happen if it just was never going to be anything. Mm-hmm. And then it, in my opinion, is like the climax of the show is that they are like, we will use this dirt against you if you want to try to do this. Like, we will fuck each other that bad.
When he told them in Italy in season 3 about that, I knew the moment he said it. I was like, this is a bad idea. You can't, you can't even trust a spouse with that information. Right. I'm sorry. No. If you've killed someone, you got to die with it.
I mean, we watched Dynasty Dallas, Days of Our Lives, all the D's. You know what I mean?
We know better.
Yep.
Yeah.
You just don't do it.
So my husband,
if you are listening, I have never murdered anyone. And I never will.
Should we do some like honorable mentions before we get to the pitches?
Absolutely. Yeah. Marsha was the queen of that show. Oh, as far as I'm concerned, that entire fourth season run was just about Marsha's journey to finally throwing the whore out of the post-death dinner.
Oh my God, Carrie.
I love that. I loved it.
Yeah. Wait, what was the...
Who's Marsha? His wife?
Marsha's Logan's wife.
Logan's, like, third wife or whatever.
She is such a good actor. I don't know if either of you have seen the show Rami on Hulu.
No, not yet. She
plays his mother, and when I tell you, there is a episode of the show that's all about her, and she becomes an Uber driver, and it's one of the most thought-provoking and best episodes of any television show I have ever seen.
Well, I'm going to write that down because we all know you are not prone to hyperbole at all. So I hate you.
But no, I'm serious. When I saw her as his wife, I was like, oh my God, she's going to be so good in this because she's such a good actor.
Yeah, she's a great actress. There were so many older, like Cherry Jones as.
Oh, so good. I mean, I would watch Cherry Jones paint a fence. It wouldn't even matter. And she would do it brilliantly.
Those scenes with her, the woman who ran ATN, Sid, fabulous. Like just like these New York theater actors are just so, so amazing. And obviously, I mean, there's so many of them. I mean, we have Lucas Madsen. There's so many peripheral characters that were just like amazing, amazing, amazing.
You know, I forgot until just now about that scene of the first wife and the second wife and Carrie all sitting in the same row and sort of nodding at each other. Like, you know, that was special. I wonder if they were inferring that Carrie was then going to get any money.
I think.
You think the first wife was probably going to arrange for Carrie to get a little kitty?
Yeah, maybe.
A little bit of the kitty.
You know? Yeah. But those like digs to her and, you know, I don't know, very first wives club or what, well, you know, very ex-wives club.
And it's also funny, like, they made Jerry knowing that we would all love Jerry. Like, do you know what I mean? It's like Jerry becomes the character that it's like, we all know that Jerry's going to be the best character in the whole fucking show.
Instinctively though, when it comes to a show like that, you never want to like overdo it with somebody. I wish we'd had more of Jerry though. That's the only tweak I'd make to the entire series is that I wanted Jerry to be a little more front burner. Like especially in season 4, we needed her more just in that one great scene with Roman. We need a little juice.
And even like it was so interesting because it's like she they just throw those people away. Do you know what I mean? It's like she was loyal to them forever and like really was like someone who was like actually really keeping the company afloat and really being like doing her job. Yeah. And it was like when it comes down to the time when it's like, okay, we're it's push comes to shove. She just got thrown right in the garbage, which is so, but like that's American business for you, ladies.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It's crazy.
In his final scene, he's basically, I took it as a profession of love for Jerry. And also,
oh, with the martini.
Yeah, with rebuking. Yeah. He knew he made a mistake and he probably lost her for forever.
And she was a real mother figure.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you know, whatever women are to men, mother figure, lover figure,
all of it.
She is woman to him. And, but of course, I mean, like, and not just women in this show, it's anyone not in the family. I mean, I imagine the Trumps are, you know, Donald Trump does this daily with people who work for him. He just throws them the fuck away. It doesn't matter
if he even remembers who they are.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Like, you're a nobody. You're a nothing unless you're part of the family. And even when you are part of the family, there's Tiffany Trump, you know?
Yeah. Who is Con? Like, that's Connor. I mean, isn't that Con? Like, he's Tiffany Trump.
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah.
You know? Yeah. And I think the other thing, too, is, like, even, like, Cousin Greg, it's like, he's like, oh, I, like, am part of the family, and they never, you know what I mean? It's even if
he's a joke. He's a fucking joke.
Right.
Yeah. He's an absolute fucking joke, and he gets joke. I mean, he did sort of say to Tom, like, you know, he did sort of do the, like, I know of this and I know of that. And, you know, he tried to play with Ken and Shiv and Roman, like, I'll have your back if you have my back. He tried to play sides and he did okay. And in the end, right, he's just going to be fine because he's going to be working with Tom. So I honestly didn't know where that character was going to go. I didn't know if he was going to stay on the Roy side or go with his granddad. But money, I mean, it's really, that's what the show's about.
Yeah.
Money.
I don't think his journey was, I don't think he went very far. I mean, it was satisfying seeing him shove Tom in the last episode. Yeah. But other than that, it was just, he was the same idiot that he was in the first episode.
Yeah.
And also honorable mention, I mean, we talked about Tom a little bit already, but just the creepiest fucking character I've ever seen in a television series.
Yeah.
Just brilliantly portrayed. Brilliantly.
Yeah. Fantastic. And it's like who is the part of gold character in this show? Is there anyone?
There is not.
No one.
No, my husband and I have discussed this. He's like, it's really something because literally every character on the show is unlikable. That's what made it so special. Like, it was so addicting and they were all so horrible.
It's terrible.
Tom's origin story, though, is the one sort of, that's a series I would watch or a movie I would watch to find out how did he end up in this predicament, because it's not spoken about really.
Right. That he didn't come from money is really what we know. And he is from the Midwest.
Right.
And that's like all we know. So, I mean, you know, this is planned. He planned this trajectory for himself. He somehow realized there was this life and he made sure he went to the right colleges, he got the right jobs, and he sucked the dick. Right.
Yeah.
Like, that's what he basically was like. I'll kiss your fucking ass.
That guy from the Fire Festival who was going to blow someone to get water into the tents.
Exactly.
I forgot about that. Oh my God.
That's him. That's literally Tom. And that's a real life Tom.
Wow.
With much lower stakes.
Dominic.
You're welcome, Christopher. You're welcome.
Wow. Wow, wow. I had forgotten all about that.
How? Oh my goodness.
I don't know.
He's one of the century's heroes. Yeah,
I know he is, truly. All right. Well, how do we fix these people? I think that's the thing we need to figure
out
next,
it.
Right?
Well, this is the moment of truth because it's time for the pitches.
Okay. What I think the Roy family needs to do is stay in the press. Because now that they no longer have what they used to have, which was like royalty because of them being the children that are the successors of their father, they now need to become their own celebrities on their own right. What they are going to do is that Shiv is going to continue to stay at ATN with Tom. And what Roman and Kendall are going to do is start the 100, that like bespoke
boutique like news organization. And everything that they start doing is going to be attacking ATN and exposing all of the fucked up shit that they have. And it's going to be a firestorm of Me Too, fucked up, like horrible things, just trashing. Now that the company is sold and they've gotten their money, trashing the company, like taking shots at them left, right, and center, and causing all of the people involved to be in the media every single day. That's the only way that, one, they know how to like thrive and like be at peace with their lives, is by like utter chaos every day for no reason. They like the fact that Kendall goes to that bench and just sits there and like looks out and is like, what does my life mean anymore? Like, he needs to now have his life needs to mean something. P.S. You know that in one of the takes of that thing, he jumps over the edge and they had to go jump in and save him. And that was not part of the script at all, but he took it upon himself to jump in the ocean.
Right.
Into the Hudson River to get radioactive cancer in 5 seconds. Knock on wood. Like,
well, because it made sense dramaturgically.
I'm gonna die. I will, like, I can't. He needs serious mental help. Like, once this, like, he needs aftercare. Like, truly, he needs aftercare.
Jeremy Strong?
Yes. I don't think he's well. I'm not saying this out of like to be funny. I'm seeing being dead ass serious. I don't think he's well. He needs aftercare from that role. Like, he thought he was doing a Daniel Day-Lewis, and he's not Daniel Day-Lewis is what this is. You know what I'm saying?
Well, we
I don't
need,
know.
We
I think men. He is Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah, I think we need men who take acting so seriously. Absolutely
correct. I'm just saying, I think that, like, Daniel Day-Lewis has been around the block and knows what he's doing. This was his first time to actually doing this, and he needs to, like, tread lightly. Anyway,
I think it's refreshing to see someone taking their work. I worked the drive through at McDonald's, I was also as committed to my performance.
I heard.
I needed meditation before I would put that headset on. I feel like I understood Jeremy Strong.
Speaking of $250,000, the amount of money I would pay to be able to watch a video of you doing that is
I know. Yeah.
It was the gayest. It was like watching Richard Simmons do a workout.
I can't even imagine.
And you weren't out. That's just so shocking to me.
He was out to everyone but himself. Sorry, not to slam you on your own podcast. Okay, so, oh God, what's that?
Are you showing us
that's
a picture
me
of?
Being molested by Ronald McDonald.
What? That's a lawsuit, Rebecca. Look at that.
Okay. Anyway, back to my pitch. So. Kendall looks out onto the ocean and is like, I should just kill myself because I have nothing to live for. They just need to continue. This can't be the end. They have to continue this firestorm and the drama because that's the only way they know how to be alive. And so that when the 100 needs to be made, it's Roman and Ken, the new disgusting brothers, and they like go after Shiv and Tom hardcore. And then the four of them are just like, in the firestorm, and they become celebrities in their own right outside of their father for doing this. And then that opens every door they need to do.
And to go after ATN, you know what they never really circled back to was that whole like Madsen, what did he do? Like save his blood, like all that weird stuff, like finding all that creepy stuff about Madsen. They could absolutely like, you know, do a Me Too situation.
Totally. The papers that cousin Greg was shredding. You know what I mean? Like there's all kinds of shit that they know. And that they don't have anything that has value anymore. What they have is knowledge. And so they use that that knowledge to then give themselves like something that is an asset again.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's how they do that, and then God only fucking knows what happens from there. But it is what they wanted originally, was like to be the disruptors.
Yeah.
You know, to disrupt everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's my pitch.
Well, anyone want to time me how many seconds it takes to invalidate Chris's pitch today?
I told him that like at the beginning of his pitch, he explains why mine isn't good. Yeah. And so now he's super self-conscious of it. And I keep telling him, like, I think it's so funny. And so he should continue to do it. Like, don't, but I just needed to point it out, but I want him to continue to do it.
I'm obsessed with it. I'm on the verge of saying, Chris, your pitch was so good, I'm not pitching this week. I forfeit.
Stop.
Because he's made it seem abusive.
I want you to continue to do it. I like it.
I'm not this week. I liked your pitch. I would not invalidate any of it. Mine is, I feel like mine has shades of it, but not really. I don't know if there was a non-compete with ATN, like if the Roy family is forbidden from opening or working at a competing, but I'm going to, for my pitch, assume that there was no non-compete. And given the amount of money they have, they can very clearly just open up another television network. And it's going to be RSK, or they'll call it RISK for short. Obviously, that's Roman Schiff Kendall, and they'll be called the RISK Network. And this network will be one-third hard news, and the rest of the time, it is just a Truman Show, Hulu Kardashians moment following the Roy family, where they'll just switch on and off with all three of them. Because honestly, if these were real people, I would watch this network. I wouldn't watch it 24/7, but if they were to Big Brother themselves, that's how they're going to stay in the public eye. They're going to make themselves the product because they've already done everything else. Shiv is absolutely going to divorce Tom because she does not need, she can be the queen of her own castle. Better to partner up with the new disgusting brothers than with that piece of shit she's marrying, and then that she's married to. Also, I want Lucas Metz, and I want Tom to walk in on Lucas Metz and fucking Siobhan. That's the only other thing that I want. Because fuck you, Tom. I mean, yeah, good on you, but fuck you. Shiv was my was my favorite. Yeah. And I want Jerry to be named the CEO of the RISK Network because they owe her that. CEO, COO, something. I don't know. And that is my pitch. But as an aside, she does deserve it. She does. As an aside, those healthy living homes that they were going to launch, I would absolutely retire there. Like there was nothing about it that made me say, no, I wouldn't do that. Right. I want to move into one of those smart homes for the elderly. And I'm also very close to the age bracket that they were marketing to. So I was so intrigued that if anyone knows any other communities that are like that one, please hit us up on the Fixing Famous People Instagram page and let an old queen know. Anyway, but that was my pitch.
Okay. Beautiful.
I loved it.
Rebecca, you hold all the cards now.
I am going to have to go with Dom's pitch.
Beautiful.
Rebecca, I need the win. I'm behind by several on this podcast now.
Are we going to send this pitch to Jesse Armstrong?
Well, it's fun that you bring that up because I was very, very determined in the first few episodes to send these pitches to the people. And I
haven't done any of them.
I haven't sent one to anybody
yet. You didn't send King Charles his pitch?
I didn't. You know, I wasn't sure if I should send it to his secretary or I didn't know how to really contact him. Mm-hmm. But there might come a moment this summer, maybe when I have a week off, where I just start sending out an FFP form letter saying, please listen to this podcast and just send a link. Mm-hmm.
I mean, people have heard, like, people have followed our advice before without us sending it. Like, people are able to find it themselves if they need to.
They'll hear about it. I do think one of the shows on RSK, could we also, could we have like a Dr. Phil kind of show where maybe there's a very special episode where all, including Connor, all the kids come on and they do air out like every...
I'm into that.
Not only that, but it should be hosted by Marcia. Like, I believe that she would give the best advice. I mean, she's in the best position of everybody, you know?
The mom comes on, you know? RSK, that I never dawned on me, never fucking dawned on me. That's
the RISK Network.
Yeah, I love it.
Well, it's also like what they kind of wanted to do, right? Weren't they going to like go, oh no, they were going to vote to like get him out. That was their thing. At the end of season three, that was like their big coup that they were going to vote him out of the thing. Yeah. I was thinking they were doing their own thing, but that's not true.
Yeah.
The train's here again. Did you hear that?
No, it died. Actually,
that signals the end of this installment of Famous People. Rebecca Bregman, our first thricer. I cannot thank you enough for coming back again. You know that we love and adore more than almost anyone who's ever been here.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you.
I hope that you found this podcast Semitic rather than anti-Semitic.
Making a Jew work on a Saturday is.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Debatable.
For the people at home, someone's holding the mic for her. She's not touching any machines.
My Shabbos goy is holding my mic and my headphones. I'm in darkness. There's no lights on. And yeah. But thank you, as always, for having me on. I love talking about television. I love talking about movies. You know that. So thank you.
We do too.
Well, our summer movie screening that we'll have to be doing when we all go to Dominic's house is going to be the Gary Coleman in the Locker movie, obviously, right?
Without question.
I'll see if my stepdad can find us a copy and put it on a server for us somewhere.
Yeah, well, that's going to need to happen. Yes, thank you.
Yeah,
Rebecca, where can the people find you?
I think actually you can find me on the streaming network Max. I believe most of the programming I've worked on throughout my life is either on, it's on ID, it's on Food Network, it's on Discovery. So look for my name and all the credits on shows streaming on Max right now.
Because those are all being consolidated into that one convenient place.
That one convenient place. If you want to watch Succession and you want to watch The Playboy Murders and you want to watch Beat Bobby Flay, we're all there for you.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
This is sponsored by David Zaslav. David Zaslav thanks you and adores you.
Dominic, where can people find you?
My website is domentary.com, where you'll be linked to all my socials at Dominic Pupa. Chris, where on earth can the people find you?
You can find me at The Chris DeRosa. You can find the show at Fixing Famous People. Please give us a review and let us know who you want us to fix next. Rebecca's doing a hand motion of 5 stars. Please give us 5 stars. Most of you do. I wish you both well. I love both of you. And obviously, let's all say it together again. 3, 2, 1.
Where's Shelly?
Goodbye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock, because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, parental controls, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.